Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. 5 o'clock on Monday, the 20th of October. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. NMHK is urging the public to lobby their representatives to back calls for an inquiry into whistleblowing. The Manx SPCA has launched a petition against the use of electric collars on pets. And we'll speak to Boxy Kloss, who beat the Chasers last night on TV, taking home £25,000. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp 2166 177 or email to studio@manxradio.com. But first, let's get the latest with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast my Siobhan.
Fast my. Drainage and road refurbishment works at Kate's Cottage and Keppel Gate on the Mountain Road have been completed. The route has been closed since mid-September, but is now fully open to traffic. Ramsey Commissioners has announced the death of former chairman Philip Bertram Quayle. Mr Quayle was first elected to the local authority in 1977, topping the poll. He served two terms on the board. An animal welfare charity on the island has today launched a petition calling for the ban of electric collars. Last year, a survey by DEFA revealed 70% of respondents were for the devices, which are legal here. Onchan MHK Julie Edge is urging the public to contact their MHKs to support her call for a new Tynwald Select Committee on whistleblowing. She says the committee would provide critical scrutiny of how government policies are being implemented and how whistleblowers are treated. Fashion for Life returns to the Villa Marina stage on Friday. The event sees breast cancer survivors take to the catwalk in clothes provided by M&S. Sharon Madrill from Isle of Man Breast Care says the evening is proof that there's life after breast cancer.
A couple of the girls from the hospital come every year and I remember the first time they came. She said it was very moving for us because we've seen all the girls come and go through. She said we felt like very proud parents sitting there. And it's a big deal to come out the other end.
The Southern Swimming Pool will be closed over half term whilst it undergoes some improvement works. It'll be shut from Monday the 27th of October until Friday the 31st, reopening as normal for the weekend. Further afield, a man who groomed a schoolgirl before repeatedly sexually abusing her and coercing her to hurt herself has been jailed for 20 years. Pizza Hut is to close 68 restaurants and 11 delivery sites with the loss of more than 1,200 jobs. It's been announced Sir Keir Starmer will attend the COP30 climate summit next month, and Rangers have appointed Danny Roll as head coach. They're your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Siobhan, thank you. Gurumayad. Let's take a closer look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Mostly dry this evening and for much of tonight, with only a small risk of a shower. Then showers becoming more frequent later in the night. Temperatures tonight no lower than 10 degrees Celsius, with the light winds settling to the west and increasing towards dawn. Tomorrow morning, though, will be cloudy with showers or longer spells of rain, those then clearing to isolated showers in the afternoon as the sunny intervals develop. Rather breezy with fresh to strong westerly winds developing and top temperature of 13 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614 841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past 5 on Manx Radio's update. Welcome to the programme. We'll start with Onchan MHK Julie Edge, who's urging the public to lobby their MHKs to support her motion for a new select committee on whistleblowing. She says the committee would provide critical scrutiny of how whistleblowing policies and non-disclosure agreements are being applied across the public sector. Two motions are tabled for this week's Tynwald sitting. So the question is, why do we need a new select committee to investigate? And what specifically will this achieve that existing processes have failed to do?
So obviously, there was recommendations in the very first committee that I chaired, and they've not all been completed or implemented. So it's a follow-up and scrutiny of those previous recommendations, but it does go a little bit further. I'm hopeful that the government will support it, because if government's got nothing to hide on any of their policies and process, they should be open to that independent scrutiny from a parliamentary committee.
Some might argue that creating another select committee would simply repeat work already done in 2021, when what really needs to happen is just any outstanding recommendations simply need to be implemented. What would you say to that?
Nothing has changed. The way individuals and many people who have spoken up are being treated, ignored, mistreated, or trying to be silenced has to change. Following the Dr. Anson tribunal case, we were promised that the public of the Isle of Man were promised there would be change, there'd be change to culture. I'm certainly not seeing that with people that I support, and the people that aren't getting support are significantly disadvantaged, and the detriment to them, to whether it be their jobs, their health, is appalling.
We'll quickly touch on the silencing aspect that you just mentioned, because you've highlighted the use of non-disclosure agreements in the public sector. NDAs can sometimes be used to protect both parties and avoid lengthy disputes. What would be the best way to balance that with concerns that they could be used in effect to silence whistleblowers?
I don't think they should be used for whistleblowing cases at all. I think if a whistleblower who at the start of their complaint is speaking up on the behalf of the public of the Isle of Man, they're not doing it for self-gain. They're doing it because they've raised a concern that's of public matter in the workplace. And to give an NDA to somebody to try and not recognise and identify what is a possible failure. I'm not saying all of them are failures, but they are speaking on behalf of the public of the Isle of Man, and they should be protected without detriment and should not lose jobs, should not be given NDAs. What the government should do is listen, pick up the issue, address it, and report back to that individual. If there was something wrong, thank you very much.
So do you believe it's more of a systemic failure, or is it a case of poor culture and leadership? Because the government may very well say that the current whistleblowing framework already provides clear routes for raising concerns.
Yes, but in 2022, when they updated the policy, they took politicians out of the policy. Now, I'm trying to establish why politicians were taken out. So ministers and chairs of boards were taken out of the policy when it was updated in October 2022. That's still the policy we're dealing with today. It's been on Manx Radio that the policy has recently been updated and approved. That was said by the PSC chair. That policy is still not published today.
Just final thoughts. You've appealed to the public to contact their MHKs and urge them to support your proposals. If it is successful, what would you like this committee's work to ultimately change for both public sector employees and public trust in government too?
I think that's the ultimate aim. It is bringing back that public trust that there's possibly an independent route, or actually that people are listened to. Whistleblowers should never be punished for doing the right thing. And I'm sorry, I think that's what we're seeing. If the system's working well, we shouldn't have whistleblowers unhappy.
Onken MHK Julie Edge speaking there. Well, as we just heard, Tim Auld sits tomorrow for its October sitting. It's set to be a busy one, covering everything from whistleblowing to housing and parental leave. With more on the order paper, Lewis Foster is here with us. Fastamai, main standout items, what can you see?
Fastamai, Christian, yeah. So, it's certainly one of the fuller sittings of the year, likely because we've had a hefty recess. One of the headline items is a statement from the Chief Minister on the government's response to the Richard Wright KC report. That's the independent review into how the government handled the Dr. Rosalind Ranson case. That'll likely be watched very closely.
Yeah, absolutely. There are quite a few debates too, aren't there?
There are. Onken MHK Julie Edge is bringing forward two motions on whistleblowing, as we just heard there. We'll also hear from Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas, who's asking for reports into affordable housing and active travel.
Government business, there's also a chunk of that up for approval too.
Yeah, quite a bit. Members will be asked to approve changes to minimum wage rate, up from £12.25 to £13.46. That's proving a controversial topic from what we've been seeing lately. Elsewhere, new parental and bereavement leave regulations and updated health and safety rules. There'll also be debates on the Child First policy, the transport strategy, and departmental plans from Home Affairs and Environment, Food and Agriculture.
So definitely a packed agenda, to say the least. Just quickly before you go, anything else that's likely to catch attention?
Possibly the general debate on the 2025 government conference outcomes. That's where members will be discussing everything from public finances to housing, connectivity and healthcare, and of course probably the National AI Office too. All in all, shaping up to be a long sitting and one that touches on a lot of key policies affecting people across the island.
Lewis, thank you very much for that. And of course, Manx Radio will be broadcasting the sitting from 10 o'clock tomorrow morning on our AM 1368 frequency and online over at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 12 minutes past five, an animal charity has launched a petition against the use of electric collars on pets. Now, a government survey last year found 70% of respondents believed the devices should remain legal, but the Manx SPCA says it wants to change minds through education. At this year's Southern and Royal Agricultural Shows, 36 people even tried the collars on themselves. Krish Baruch from the charity has been explaining.
We were very safe and they were able to hold the shock collar on their hand, no pressure given or anything, and we would start off on level one. Level one is what I would normally say is a electric shock for a kid's toy when you pull the bubblegum out and you get electric shock. Fun and games. Level two is a little bit different. It's more of a electric shock of a farm wire fencing. Some thought, I've had electric shocks before from the farm fencing. We've had electricians come in and say, I've been shocked that many times, it won't shock me. You'd be surprised how few people got to the highest level, which is level eight. Quite a few people dropped out at level two, meaning it was too much for them. And this is a tool that goes on, it can go on puppies' necks, you can put it on any neck of anything, and it has eight levels of shock. Very few people got to the level eight. Quite a lot of people could get to level two or level three. Some got to level six, very few got to level eight. So it just goes to show, if we can't handle that when we're expecting that shock, how does a dog imagine when it's running around the field, mesmerised by butterflies chasing in the field and then get an electric shock on its neck? It can be quite damaging, quite scary. And so we thought we'd challenge the people.
What's the next step? What are you aiming to do with this? Is there a way forward or a next step?
Yes, so we will be doing another public petition, and hopefully that gets enough votes to then go forth, to then be reviewed and re-looked at and think, actually, you're right, there's more people now aware of what electric shock collars do. We can promote it a lot more so a lot more people can actually vote no.
That's Krish Baruch from the Manx SPCA speaking to Chanel Suku there. Well, the government says it is aware that there are significant concerns about the use of electric collars in dogs and cats and will do further work to explore that area. And of course, as we heard, the petition has now been launched. Full details can be found over at manxradio.com. Now, the government is urging businesses and financial institutions to stay vigilant as new UK and US sanctions target a Southeast Asian scam network. Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson says sanctions help disrupt organised crime by freezing assets and blocking access to financial systems. I sat down with her to find out more.
The issue is that where there is criminality, and in this case there are individuals and entities who have engaged in large-scale fraud and scams and then tried to launder the proceeds of that criminality, that sanctions are an effective way, in fact, to disrupt that model, because the sanctions hit all types of assets that are that have been effectively acquired through illicit money. And so the sanctions effectively act to then freeze all of those assets, and it's many billions of pounds in this case.
Businesses obviously have to check, that the onus is on them to check. But talk to me about what might happen if they still interact with people that are on the sanctions list.
There are, of course, penalties for any businesses who do not comply and play their part. And within a business, you may only have one part of a jigsaw puzzle, but it becomes important that you report it, because actually our proactive international money laundering unit and our financial intelligence unit and our regulators can share information, and share information also with partners in other countries, and in that way try and understand and then act to disrupt and detect this type of criminality.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look at the roads to begin with. Obviously, the Mountain Road is now open again. That passage from Brandywell to the Craig now all complete, so that's all looking good. In Douglas, today and tomorrow, there are temporary lights on Central Promenade between Broadway and the Castle Mona 24 hours a day. Elsewhere in Douglas, temporary lights on Tramode Road. That's also 24 hours a day, and that's for repair to a gas leak. Over in Braddon, we've got temporary lights on Braddon Road. That's just up from Braddon Bridge. In Sandton, the Mount Murray Back Road, that's closed for the building of a concrete underpass. Over in Balaff, until the end of the month, temporary lights on Balaff Bridge, 24 hours a day for drainage work. Take a trip over to Ramsey. There's currently a one-way system in place on Station Road, and that is for resurfacing work. Looking down at the steam packet, the Manxman has just arrived back in Douglas. Everything's looking to schedule there. All good. Let's head further down to Ronaldsway Airport, where everything is looking green and blue, so everything is running to time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
This Tuesday on Manx Radio at 5:30, join Kiri Kuroda and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I caught up with Manx National Farmers Union President Ian Parsons from Balgeen Farm in Laxey.
I had a chat with Alison Leonard, the Managing Director of Manx Birdlife, to find out the latest news from some of the surveys. And also, I visited the pumpkin field to find out how they grow them and how things had been, how popular it was with this year's Hop Tunay coming up.
That's all in Countryside Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 5:30, and don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's been clad in scaffolding for several years and even threatened with demolition, but Tramway Terrace on Douglas Promenade is still standing, just about. The registered building formed part of the original stables for the horse tramway, which will celebrate its 150th anniversary next year. Lewis Foster has been speaking with the Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood for an update on the refurbishment project.
The building is still moving and still shifting. If you're around the back of the building, even though it's scaffolded, you can see where the lintels above the windows no longer line up with the scaffolding, because the roof was replaced with a very heavy roof compared to the original, and it's pushing the walls of the building outwards. So the building still is very unsafe and in a perilous state. We are just in the middle of a heritage impact assessment, which is evaluating our options for the site. Almost certainly some of that building will have to be demolished because it is just unsafe. I have seen some preliminary costings for if we were to try and recover the whole building, and we are running into millions of pounds. But there are ways of saving part of the building, and I think we've seen some of that more along the Prom recently, where you save the facade and then you rebuild the back, and actually that's probably the cheaper and safer option. But all those options at the moment are being evaluated in a heritage impact assessment that I expect I will see within the next 4 to 6 weeks and see the results of that, and that is likely to form a business case that we'll be submitting for the works to be done.
I believe it was back in April. You didn't rule out selling the site. Is that still on the table?
I haven't ruled out selling the site, but I'm more of the opinion now, and we have been talking about horse tram reinstatements as well, but I'm more of the opinion now that as you come to the 150th anniversary of the Douglas Bay horse tram network, that Tramway Terrace is an integral part of that whole system. So you've got the Scables, you've got Tramway Terrace, and then you should have the line running along the prom as well. So I'm more inclined to see, and part of the heritage impact assessment is looking to see how do we incorporate that Tramway Terrace building into the Stables, and does it become, for example, a visitor centre that would then support the Stables being open to people more often. And it's a lovely visit down there. And so we're looking to see if we can get the building back into use, but in a way that supports the horse trams more generally.
Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward speaking with Lewis Foster there. Now, the island's ninth Manx bard has beaten the Chasers in the popular ITV game show The Chase. Boxy Kloss appeared on last night's episode and walked away with £25,000, which she's using to send her friend Helen to Australia, presumably as a holiday, not to get rid of her. We'll speak with Boxy in just a moment, but first, let's have a quick throwback to what happened last night.
Correct. Boxy, what fashion brand makes Boss One underwear?
Hugo.
What other Italian... I wasn't even watching the clock. 4 seconds. If you'd have gone one step up, that 4 seconds would have been wiped out. You'd have gone. You wouldn't have done it. But you chose exactly the right amount. Helen is off to Australia. Vixen, go ahead.
You have gone above and beyond coming on one of the toughest shows ever on TV.
Yes.
Holding your nerve, getting some great answers in there and showing us what's what. Well played, Boxy.
Yeah, well done, Boxy.
Now, Boxy, just listening back to that, what memories does that bring back for you?
Oh, utter disbelief and shock, I think, because one of the tips that they gave was not to watch the clock, so I had no idea how much time was remaining. And when everybody started clapping and everything, I thought, oh, my goodness, I've won, you know.
And I imagine with all these things, you probably recorded that some time ago but were sworn to secrecy.
Oh, ages ago, yes. Wasn't quite last year, but not far off.
And Helen is your friend that's been helping to look after you while you've been poorly.
Yes, she's been an absolute star. She's a gem. Mm. One of the good ones.
And does she know? What was her reaction?
She does know now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been itching to tell her for months. It's been really hard. I mean, she was visiting me the other day and I was dying to say, Helen, I've won 25 grand for you. You know? And of course, she's sworn to secrecy.
Yeah. If you're anything like me, I struggle to keep people's birthday and Christmas presents hidden, so I don't think I could ever go on a game show and never let never mind win.
Well, not with this one. I mean, I've done a few game shows before, and obviously you always have to keep it secret. Like when I went on Mastermind again, that was filmed several months in advance. But I didn't totally disgrace myself on that, but I wasn't particularly proud of my performance. So that wasn't as hard to keep secret. But this one, you know, I flew back the day after the show was recorded with this huge big grin on my face. And, of course, I couldn't tell anybody why. And I'm going, I've won 25 grand, I've won 25 grand.
Do your friends kind of, they pick up some kind of signs? Because, I mean, to win £25,000, I mean, that's got to be difficult to keep secret, even from a body language perspective.
It's very hard. It's very hard. I mean, I'm not a poker player, but following the past few months, I think perhaps I should take it up and that I do have a poker face.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got Mastermind off the bucket list. You've now got The Chase off the bucket list too.
Yep.
What's next for Boxy Kloss then?
Well, I did 15-1 about a decade ago, won an episode of that. Next, I don't know. I mean, I always wanted to do University Challenge, but I've just graduated, actually. I've been doing a master's degree for the past couple of years, and I've just completed that and passed it. So now I can't even go on University Challenge.
Well, congratulations on your master's. What subject was that in?
It's creative writing and well-being. Whilst I've been ill the last few years, I started doing therapeutic writing. And writing for well-being workshops used to be held with a lady called Janet Lees, who I'm sure you've heard of. Mm. But anyway, she's no longer on Ireland. So the plan is that once I've had my neck surgery and recovered from that, I'm going to set up some therapeutic writing or writing for well-being workshops across the island, and then I can pay back to the community. That's the plan anyway.
That sounds very exciting. Well, thank you so much for having a chat with us folks here. Congratulations on your £25,000 and hope Helen enjoys her
Helen's
trip.
£25,000, not mine.
I hope it goes well and she enjoys her trip to Australia.
I'm sure, and hopefully I'll get a postcard.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Congratulations once again to Bokes here, Ryan. Let's turn our attention to sport. We can say fast am I to Darren Timpson.
Fast am I. Starting in football, all three of the top Canada Life Premier League sides won at the weekend. Corinthians played out an edgy 1-0 win over St Mary's, while Onken had to come from behind twice to beat Braddon. Meanwhile, Laxey had no trouble against the league's bottom team, Foxdale, as they won 9-2. Further down the table, St John's increased the distance between themselves and the relegation zone with a 4-2 win over Union Mills. They're now on 9 points, 5 ahead of Douglas Old Boys. In the Odden and Drogon Division 2, Colby have provisionally moved top of the table. They beat Paul Rose 3-0 as Castletown had a rest week. Meanwhile, there are 1-1 draws between Douglas and District and Douglas Royal, and Rycob and Moran. Elsewhere, there was only one game in the Canada Life Women's League. Peel came from 2 goals down to beat league leaders Corinthians 3-2. On to rugby, where Douglas was the only Manx side to win at the weekend. They beat Northwich 30-21 in the Regional 2 Northwest. Meanwhile, in the County 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire, Vagabonds were beaten by a score against Oral as they lost 33-27, and Ramsey were defeated 42-24 by Ormskirk. In hockey, the opening round of all three cups took place at the weekend. Backers A beat Vikings A 3-0 in the Mixed Cup, while Castletown Celts beat Backers B 6-0. Onto the mixed plate, where Ramsey A beat Valkyrie C on penalty strokes and Vikings C lost 5-1 to Backers C. And in the mixed ball, Castletown Camags, Castletown Cosney, Valkyrie D and Vikings D all progressed. And finally in boxing, Jade Burden has announced her next fight will take place at Winter Gardens in Blackpool on Saturday the 29th of November. Her opponent is yet to be confirmed.
Gurmai, thank you very much for that, Darren. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. On the way, Agenda with Phil Gorn. Michelle Kane straight afterwards, sitting in for Chris Kinley on Greatest Hits. Ian Cottier has Time for Brass from 9 o'clock, and then Dave Moore taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. Dave will be with you tomorrow. I'll be in the Tim Wall Chamber, so until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.